And I tell you, when that choir hit that crescendoed note, Emmanuel, these guys from both sides came flipping out, just barely missed each other. Flip back in the middle. These girls came flipping out. Jumped on their arms. They threw them up in the air and they flipped in the air in the middle. They threw one girl so high, we haven't heard from her since.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, you're going to learn about an ingenious plan conceived by God for infiltrating the world with the message of His love. And guess what? It's working. Here's Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, You Only Go Around Once.
Now, I know there's some people here from other churches. How many full-time ministers do we have in this place? Yeah, okay. Now put your hands down. Now I want everyone to raise your right hand on the word go. Ready? Go. Oh, good, good, good. All right, some of you still aren't believing this. All right, let's try it again. This is a test of rebellion. Ready? Go. Okay, now that is the answer to the next question I am about to ask you. Okay, put your hand down. Ready? Watch this. Here we go. Remember the answer. How many full-time ministers do we have in this room? Very good. There's a couple of you still over. Try it again. Okay. At this next question, everybody raise your right hand. Good. All right. Here we go. How many full-time ministers are there in this room? Very good. Give yourselves a hand. Yeah. You say, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean full-time minister? That's right. The Bible says in the book of Peter, you are a royal nation, a holy priesthood, a people after God's own possession. God says in Revelation 1:6, and He has made us to be a kingdom of priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever. 1 Peter 2:9 again, for you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a possession of God. Why? In order that you might proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you. Each of you is a full-time minister. What do you mean full-time? Yeah, does anybody like love Jesus like just part-time? Anybody here? Oh, no. Okay. Anybody want to be in heaven just part-time? I won't tell you where the other part-time will be. Yeah, no, we're all full-time. You see, before you are a businessman, you're a minister. Because God has placed an assignment on your heart, on the spinning globe. You're someone to take His message and serve others with it so that they will see that there's life beyond the scratch. Before you're a housewife, you're a full-time minister. Because the Bible says, even though you're from California or Helsinki, Finland or Japan or Australia or anywhere in Hawaii, your hometown is this. You are a citizen of heaven. We come from the same hometown. We root for the same team. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. You know what God did? He spun some of you out in Australia like salt, some of you in Japan, and He gave us different colored earth suits and different languages, just for a season. Why? Because we're going to be reaching different people. That's why He put you in different places. But our hometown, our citizenship is where? Heaven. We have the same Father, folks. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm related to you. Go ahead. Comes as a shock for some of you, doesn't it? We are all full-time ministers. Now you say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean full-time? I don't work for the church. I get my finances from the police department, or I get my finances from the medical field, or I get my finances from the Department of Education. Oh, yeah, but you're still a full-time minister. Well, what do you mean? Well, you see, don't mistake the avenue through which you get your finances from the source of your finances. You see, let's take a look and see where the source of our income is. Just like following stereo wires, trying to find out where they end up, let's take a look. If you're a nurse, Where do you get paid from? Oh, the hospital. Oh, yeah, that's not the source. That's an avenue through which you get your income, but keep going. You go through the hospital, you find that it goes to someone's insurance, and then it goes to someone else's paycheck, and then it goes to here, and then goes to there, and it keeps going and going and going, and guess where you finally end up? Ah, voila, at the throne of God. Huh? Mm-hmm. Policeman. Oh, the police department pays me. Oh, no, keep going, keep going. Tax base. Uh-huh, keep going, keep going. This person. Uh-huh, keep going, keep going. Oh, voila, same place. Wow, very good, grasshopper. Try again. If you're a teacher, I get paid from the Department of Education. Keep going. Tax base. Someone else. Oh, same. Oh, same place again. Oh, 知らなかった. You see, grasshopper, everybody here, same source. That's right. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Then why then does God give me my income through the Department of Education and someone else through the construction field and someone else through there? Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. How many of you believe that God loves teachers? Raise your hand. Yeah, I think so too. How many of you believe that God loves policemen? Raise your hand. Yeah, here's a tougher one. How many of you believe God loves attorneys? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I won't ask you about paques, but he loves them too. He loves them. Now, God loves construction workers. God loves teachers. God loves policemen. So, because he loves teachers and he loves construction workers and loves policemen, what's the best way to reach those people? Well, we have one pastor in our church, we just got to get more to reach them. No, we got to hire more youth pastors. No. What's the best way to reach a teacher? By a pastor coming to the school with a Bible and trying to preach to them at lunchtime? No, the best way to reach a teacher, because God loves teachers, the best way to reach a teacher is through what? Another teacher. That's right. The best way to reach construction people is through another construction person. The best way to reach a policeman is through another policeman. That's God's plan. So how does he do that? How many full-time ministers do we have in this room? Okay, good. Quite a few. All right. Here's what God does. Because he loves teachers, he takes a full-time minister. How many do we have in here? Okay, he takes a full-time minister. Now, watch this. He takes a full-time minister and disguises him or her as a teacher. Isn't that hilarious? Gives him the skills and the talents and the certification and the passion to be a teacher and spins this one over in the Department of Education. God loves construction workers. So he takes a full-time minister, disguises him as a construction worker, gives him muscles and hair. That's just the men. That's the men. And puts him over there in the construction field. God loves policemen, so he takes another full-time minister, disguises him or her as a police officer, and takes a bunch of them and puts them over here. Can you see what God is doing? Can you see what God is doing? As I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. Just don't forget who you are. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works and glorify your Father. See, that's what God is doing. Listen to what Acts 17, 26 and 27 says again. I'll just read it to you. From one man, remember, he said, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Now listen, here he answers this question. Why? He did this so that men would seek him and reach out for him and find him, for he is not far from any of us. Ooh. You see, God put us in the exact places where we live and work. Why? Because people are reaching out for God. Why? Because he put eternity in the heart of every man. And he's saying, tell them. Tell them that they have hope beyond the scratch. That's how God plans to reach everyone in the world. I can't reach them alone. You can't reach them. But together, we can. Now, God knew that we couldn't do it on our own. So what God did was he gave us gifts and passions in different arenas of life. Even in the church, he gives us different passions and gifts so that we can, in serving, in counseling, in doing hospitality, in giving, in leading, in organizing, in teaching, in being in technical things, in loving kids. And what he does is he allows our gifts to be used. And in doing so, people see not us, but our Father in heaven. And as we serve and use our gifts and shine and pray and represent Christ, you see, the Bible says God created us in his image. You know why? Because the world doesn't need to see us. They need to see his image. They need to see him. And so he put us all over. Now you say, Wayne, I understand about the marketplace and God's placed us there. But I have different desires and gifts too. How does it all work together where we can be a part of the church and be a part of the marketplace? And how do I find these gifts? And what do I do if I have a passion or a desire to be a part of the church, be a part of the marketplace, and link them two together? How? I know I'm out there in the marketplace, but I need to link what God's doing here with that out there. That is a huge chasm. Well, God says, I'm going to give you gifts here in the church, and a passion for the lost. And there's going to be people here that you have contacts with out there. While you have contacts and you're inviting them, there's going to be someone here that's setting up a stage. There's someone over there that has a gift of setting up lights. There's someone over there that has a gift of working with kids. And so you have that gift of reaching someone else, hospitality out there, being friendly. And when you invite, you know what happens? They all come together here. And everybody's doing their part now. And all of a sudden, there's stage, there's lights, there's a song that someone has been practicing. There's a choir. And all of these gifts begin to work together. And I'll fit it together. And then all of a sudden, lights will start to come on. That they'll realize that they have life beyond the scratch. You can't reach them alone. I can't reach them alone. But together, we sure can. So God is saying, as we do church as a team, we begin to reach the world. One person can invite. Another person can run a camera. Another one can sing. Another can set up. Another can take down. Another can sing. Another can speak. And you know what? When someone comes to the church or to a small group or to an event and they say yes to Jesus Christ, we all led them to the Lord. Every single one of us that has a part to play in their salvation. We all did it together. So God allows us to do this as a team. Now God is going to be pouring people into the church. Just 2 weeks ago, 187 people received Christ at our weekend service. 187. Last week, yeah, isn't that great? And then last Sunday, we baptized 103. Isn't that great? It's just phenomenal. Now, God is just pouring in people. Now, watch this. If I had a bucket of sand here, but I had a little postage stamp piece of cardboard, and I poured sand on this cardboard, why, that sand would cone up to a pyramidal kind of cone, and then if I kept pouring sand, what would happen to the rest of the sand? It would just cascade off the edge and fall onto the floor. What if I took twice the amount of sand and poured it on there? Would it hold any more? What if I took a bucket of sand then and poured it on? Would it hold any more? No. What if I took a 55-gallon drum of sand and poured it on? Would it hold any more? No. The only way we can hold more is what do we have to do? We have to increase the base. And when you increase the base, more sand can be held. And if we increase it even more and more, can you see the amount of sand that we can hold? We, as God's people, are like that base. And as each of us begin to find that we do have a purpose for living, we do have a purpose and an intention, we do have an assignment, and as more and more people start to catch it, can you see now how God can pour more sand and it holds? We all start to understand. And that's why we do the Doing Church as a Team conferences, so that you'll understand the basic philosophy of why God created us. And when we're all operating in our gifts, we do it together. And that becomes the body of Christ. You see, the body of Christ is not one person. It's sort of like, did you know that there is no car engine? No. What part of the engine is the engine? If the block would say, well, hey, I'm the biggest part. I'm the engine. No, you're not. Okay, the valves, that's the engine. No. Pistons say, well, we're important. If you don't have us, there's no power. Well, you're not the engine. Okay, the carburetor says, I'm the engine. No. Which one is the engine? None of them. When does it become the engine? When they're all working together. None of the parts is an engine. It is only an engine when it's put together and it's working together. That's what Doing Church as a Team helps us to understand. That you are not the engine, neither am I. But when we're working together and we're all using our gifts, we become the engine. And God calls us to do church as a team. Let me tell you the first time I saw this. It was about 2 years after we had started. We were doing a Christmas Eve service. I was standing off to the side and I was watching. And the choir, there was about an 80-voice choir, and all of them were brand new in the Lord. So you know when new Christians sing, I mean, their jugular veins just go out like this and just throb. And they were singing, because they weren't just singing a song. They were singing their story, who's their testimony. And they were singing about Emmanuel, that he had come. And they were singing with this crescendo note, Emmanuel. And boy, you could just sense their hearts. Well, we had the pianist playing, and they were all, well, a week or so before, some of the cheerleaders from the University of Hawaii had received the Lord in the church. And so they had come up to me and they said, Pastor Wayne, you know, at that Christmas Eve service, I said, yes. They said, you know, we're cheerleaders. And, you know, like in the middle of basketball games, we do flips and stuff in the middle of the floor. I said, yeah, it's amazing. They said, you know what? We want to do something in the Christmas Eve service. I said, oh, like what? They said, you know when the choir hits that crescendoed note, Emmanuel, and they hold it? What if we just come out and like flip across the stage? I said, why don't you not? They said, why not? I said, because we don't have enough insurance. They said, no, we want to do it. I said, you know, this is a church, and you don't do that in church. And then they stopped me and said, you know, Wayne, we just received Christ, and we cannot sing like them, and we can't play an instrument, but we can do somersaults and stuff, and we just wanted to give that to the Lord this Christmas as our gift of thanks to Him for bringing us salvation. That's the only gift we can bring. When they said that, I said, you know when the choir sings that crescendo note and holds it? I said, just flip for God. Just flip for God. So that night came. It was something else. The drummer was drumming and the pianist was playing, and we had some mimes, you know, and there's people there running camera because we had an overflow, and these ushers were handing out Christmas bulletins. They weren't handing them out with their hands. They were handing them out with their hearts. Everybody was moving in the gifts and the passions, the place that God had given to them. They had invited friends. Some had invited some people from their work. They came on their elbow and they just brought them in. And I thought, this is so cool. And I tell you, when that choir hit that crescendoed note, Emmanuel, these guys from both sides came flipping out, just barely missed each other. Flip back in the middle. These girls came flipping out. Jumped on their arms. They threw them up in the air and they flipped in the air in the middle. And you can just see these guys, Emmanuel. And these girls are going, woo. They threw one girl so high, we haven't heard from her since. But when it was done, I came out to the front and I picked up a microphone and I gave a wrap up. And people received the Lord. But you know, later on I was thinking about it. I thought, you know, Lord, when I was standing on the side, that's it, I thought. I was watching the piano player. The piano player was preaching the gospel through those keys. He was preaching the gospel the best way he knew how. How? Through his gift. The choir, they were preaching the gospel, weren't they? Through the song that they sang. I watched the drummer. He was preaching the gospel the best way he knew how, through using his gift. I watched the people running cameras. They were preaching the gospel to those that were in an overflow section the best way they knew how, through their gift. I watched the mime, and they preached the gospel the best way they knew how, through their gift. And the dancers came out, and when they danced so beautifully, they were preaching the gospel the best way they knew how, through their gifts. And I picked up a microphone. And I came out to the front and I preached the gospel the best way I knew how, through my gift. But it wasn't just one presentation of the gospel. You count them all up. Everyone was preaching the gospel that night. There was about 300 or 400 presentations of the gospel, all simultaneously. How? They were preaching the gospel the best way they knew how, through their gifts. Do you understand how powerful that makes the church? Do you understand how powerful the gospel then can be presented? And even little kids at 8 years old, 11 years old, they can preach the gospel the best way they know how when they're 8 years old. Someone with a song can preach the gospel. Someone who maybe is an introverted person but hides behind a camera, and through the camera they can share with others in an overflow section the gospel. They're preaching the gospel the best way they know how. There's a place for every single person in the body of Christ to preach the gospel the best way they know how, through using their gifts. Can you think of anything funner than that? That's doing church as a team. And when I first saw it, I thought, God, that's it. You know, a church like that will make a huge difference. I was invited to go on a battleship because we were praying for a battleship, and I was up in the helm and I looked down and there was probably 800 people on this battleship. And we went out from Pearl Harbor, and as we went out there, they were doing some different exercises and things, and I noticed something. I thought, you know, after I did a tour, I thought, you know, 800 people on this battleship, every single one of them had a role to play. Every single one of them had a place. Every single one of them had an assignment. Nobody was on that ship going along just for the ride, except me. Sometime later, Anna and I took a little cruise around the islands, and we were on this cruise liner. There was about 500 people, lazy, slothful people, like us, laying on the deck like walruses. And there's a few people scurrying around. There's 500 people with no reason, just cruising, and a few people running around. And God spoke to my heart and said, Wayne, the church is a battleship. It is not a cruise liner. And if you're going to pierce the darkness and drive it back, then you must be a battleship. Everyone has a part to play. And when that happens, you become powerful. And the gates of hell will not prevail.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, You Only Go Around Once, by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.